One day, a prairie chicken found an egg and sat on it until it hatched. Well, the egg was an abandoned eagle egg. And so the eagle was born into a family of prairie chickens. Now, while eagles can soar great heights, prairie chickens don't even fly. Prairie chickens often live off of garbage left behind by humans. The little eagle grew up thinking he was a prairie chicken. He walked around, he ate garbage, and he clucked like a prairie chicken. One day he looked up into the sky and he saw a majestic bald eagle flying high above. And he asked his family what it was. And they responded, "It's an eagle, but you can never be like that because you're a prairie chicken." And they all returned to pecking their garbage. The eagle spent his whole life looking up into the sky, looking up at eagles, longing to join them, but never occurring to him to lift his wings and fly. The eagle died missing his purpose in life while thinking he was just a prairie chicken. Well, this is week three of our study of Be the Message. And to be the message of Jesus Christ that we have called to be, to become the very gospel message of Jesus, you must discover your purpose. See, too many Christians miss their purpose in life, and they live more like a prairie chicken than they live like the eagles that God has created them to be. I want you to go back in time with me a few thousand years to a weather-beaten prophet. A weather-beaten prophet who's known the agony of preaching to disobedient and rebellious people. His name is Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a nickname. He's called the weeping prophet. He's called that because for 40 years he's been crying over the sins of the people of Israel. His messages have fallen on deaf ears. He needed himself to find purpose in the midst of his pain. He needed to know that no matter the problem that has occurred, that it wasn't going to stop God's purposes in his life and in the nation of Israel. And maybe this morning, you need that sense of hope yourself. Maybe you need a renewed purpose of God who lives in you. We're looking at Jeremiah, the 18th chapter this morning, beginning with verse 1. And there we find it says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. So God told Jeremiah, he said, "Jeremiah, it's time for you to go on a field trip. You remember that potter in town? I want you to go pay him a visit. And when you get there, then you will begin to understand the purpose of all that I have been directing you for your life and of what you have been saying and doing." And so Jeremiah was obedient. He arrives at the potter's house and he finds the potter busy at work. And then we look at verse 4. He said, "And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled or marred in the potter's hand. And he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do." So as the potter is working away on this clay, he discovers a flaw in the clay. Maybe it's that the clay has become too dry and now it's too rigid to mold. Maybe it's the reverse. Maybe the clay is just way too wet and it really cannot form with any consistency. Or maybe there's a small pebble or rock or something like that and keeping it from having a smooth surface. We're not really told. We're just told that something was wrong with this clay feature. The potter didn't throw away the clay, though. He didn't discard it. He decided to rework that clay, rework it into the vessel that he desired that clay to become. Then came the lesson for Jeremiah and for Israel. It's like God is saying, now there's your visual picture, Jeremiah. Now listen to the words concerning that picture. Look at verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent to the disaster that I intended to do to it. And if any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of that good that I had intended to do to it. Says Jeremiah, here's a purpose of all that you've been preaching, all these years that you've been preaching, all these tears that you have been shedding over Israel. Here's a purpose. Here's an illustration for your congregation called Israel. See, I can do just what that potter did. I can take the Mars, the spoiled pottery called Israel, and I can reshape her to what I want her to be. I can, if need be, break her pot, remold her, and if she stubbornly retains the life of evil or being marred, I can smash her again and start all over. Israel's mess, God is saying, is going to be my message. Well, what are some discoveries from this for us? What does this have to do with us and our purpose? Well, the first thing, the first discovery of the potter is that he is the potter and I'm the clay. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Sounds pretty simple, but do we live it out that way? Jeremiah heard from God in this, just who has the position of authority? God is the potter. We're just the clay. And maybe that's easier to say than what we actually live out. See, to discover your purpose in life, you must grasp God's eternal position, His sovereignty. We're not in charge. God is. And you will never know your purpose in this life until Jesus is in your life. That's when you find out your purpose in life. Life centers around the potter. Life centers around God Himself. It doesn't center around us. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. See, I must come to a point that I recognize He's the potter, and He can do whatever He wants to do in my life. Because He knows what's best for my life. He's God, I'm not. He's the one forming. He's the one fashioning me. But see, we try to be the potter. And when we try to be the potter, our true purpose escapes us. But see, sometimes we just don't like what God is making us into, we think. Our actions say, God, you don't know what you're doing. Oh, we don't say that maybe verbally, but our actions show that quite often. And so we try then to be the potter, and we try to play God, and we forget our roles. Listen to Isaiah 45:9. Woe to him who quarrels with his maker. To him who is but a potsherd among the potsherds on the ground, does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say he has no hands? I mean, can you imagine, say, I'm making pottery, and I'm at a wheel, and it's spinning away. And I'm trying to form and fashion it. And all of a sudden, the pot starts talking to me and says, you don't know what you're doing. Don't we do that to God sometimes? As I said, maybe not with our words, but with our actions. God is the master craftsman. And many times we say or act like, God, you're doing it all wrong. I don't like what you're doing in my life. God said, God, I know what's best for me. See, God, you got to understand, I have this plan for my life. I have a plan of direction I want to go, God. And you're not following my plan, God. When we try to play God, it always ends in sorrow. Always. We try to control everything. We try to control other people. We try to control our problems. We try to control our pain. We try to control our very image. We try to control our circumstances. But let me give you an irony alert in this. The more we try to control, the more life spins out of control. The more we try to control, the more life spins out of control. And see, we think it's the opposite. We think that if we are the ones in charge, if we are in control, if we have our hands around it, that everything's going to work out well. But if I have control of things, life's going to go smoothly. That's my thought. But the more we try to hold things closely, the more we try to be in control, the more those things will crush the life out of us. You can't get control of your life, but you can get your life under control when you place it under Christ's care and control. You and I are the clay. We're not the potter. You and I are not God. And see, I need to quite often jump back up on the potter's wheel. Let him mold and remake me into the beautiful vessel that he is creating me to be. And it's because of this second thought I want you to hear. The second discovery of the potter is that he makes a vessel that pleases him. He makes a vessel that is best to him. The potter has this design in his mind. He sees a beautiful vessel that he is creating. And let's face it, the real problem for us is we have a distorted view of what God thinks is beautiful. We have a totally different definition of beautiful in this life than what God sees as beautiful. He sees the purpose of why he's creating us. And to discover our purpose, it has to always start with God. And how often do we complain about ourselves and our abilities? You know, I'm too tall, I'm too short. I wish I had this skill. I wish I had this talent. I wish I could play this instrument. I wish I could play that instrument. I wish my eyes were brown or blue or green. I wish I was stronger. I wish I could play this sport or that sport. I wish I could speak in public. I wish, I want, and the list goes on. And we become griping clay about God's handiwork and how he made us. We need to stop having clay envy of other clays that are out there. You will not discover your purpose in life as long as you always want to be someone else or be like someone else. Believe it or not, God knows what he's doing. And you are special to God as you are. He loves you as you are because you are his individualized craftsman. I've told you the story in the past, and I won't go into detail, but of my oldest brother, Donald. Donald, who was mentally disabled, but who God used in ways that we would have never thought of early in his life. This man who ends up working for a hospital in transport for 40 years, who at the end of his life, the hospital wants to put on a celebration of his life at the hospital. He didn't even have a middle school education. And yet there were these nurses and doctors who were there, sitting there bragging on him and talking about what things he meant to their lives. Who would have thought at the beginning of his life of how God had crafted my brother, that it would have been someone who had touched so many lives along the way? We need to be very careful, because God is creating you and me to fulfill his purposes, what he has designed you to be. And for you to find that fulfillment, you align your life up with the purpose of which God is molding you. And ultimately, what's he doing? He's molding you into his image. The third discovery of the potter is that he desires a relationship with his creation. That's why you were created. God created you to love you, and he wants you to love him back. And so you are created to be a vessel that contains the very Holy Spirit of God when you ask Christ into your life. The Lord God himself comes to live within you through his Holy Spirit. You become the temple of God. And as people look at you, they ought to see Jesus in you. And as long as, you know, we try to fill our hearts, the void in our hearts, with everything but Jesus, you're never going to find your purpose, because you won't have a relationship with the Creator as you should. Christianity is a relationship. I know we say this over and over, but too many people who call themselves Christians try to make it a religion of do's and don'ts, but it's a relationship with the Heavenly Father. God made you to have a relationship with you, and that's how you find your purpose, by having that relationship with him. The fourth discovery of the potter is that he wants to mold us and make us more and more into his image. God is more interested in your character than he is your comfort. I'm afraid in the United States we have so distorted the gospel message of Jesus Christ that it comes way too comfortable in it for our lives. And God is more concerned about your character than your comfort. That's the reason why he's always molding us, and he's trying to take away our rough edges, so that we become more and more like Jesus. And you know what? That can be painful at times. That can be very painful at times. He's making you to be more and more like his son. Let me tell you an area that you should be concerned about. You should be concerned if your life is all comfortable. If your life is all comfortable, then God's not working in you. Because God always creates discomfort in our lives, because he always wants to change us and make us more like his son. None of us are perfect. None of us are there yet. And so he's constantly chipping away at the edges and molding us and making us. Remember how the potter dealt with the marred clay? There was something in that clay, or there was something about that clay that was hindering him from molding it into the vessel he wanted it to be. And quite often we hinder God from molding us and making us into what is best for our lives, our purpose, molding us into his image, his purpose for our lives. And we refuse to surrender, and we keep God from molding us. See, God's not going to force his will upon any of us. He's not going to force his will, but when we finally come to him and recognize that is where my purpose is, he molds us, he makes us. And sometimes when God is molding and making us, it can be painful, as I said. We don't like it. We don't like what God is maybe doing at that point. And we want to jump off the wheel and try to be the potter ourselves again. Maybe our lives are not moldable because we've become hard and dried out, like the clay that cannot be molded because it's just too rigid. We become rigid in our lives. We become control-oriented in our lives, and God cannot mold us because we want to have control. God calls us to obey, and yet our hearts are hard, and we choose to disobey. And then each time we disobey, the heart gets harder and harder along the way. And softening can only begin when we repent and we return the controls back to God. But sometimes when this rigidity in life, when this control-oriented life gets way out of hand, God has to smash our lives. And brokenness really does hurt. When you come to the point that God just has to completely break you, when He realizes you've gotten so off track and He has to break you in your life, it hurts, but it's for a purpose, to bring you back to Him, to bring you back to a relationship with Him so you can find His purpose again. But maybe it's a different type of clay that you're living out. Maybe it's a clay that's too wet and there's not a consistency involved in your life. Our conviction towards Jesus becomes kind of lukewarm and you're no longer anchored in Christ, but instead you go with every flow of society, every flow of the wind that blows in your life. You follow the crowds. And that's the easy thing to do instead of following Jesus. Wet clay needs to return to the very disciplines of the Christian faith. First off, there has to be repentance involved. Prayer, being involved in the Word, worship, fellowship, ministry unto others, and most important, though, is glorifying God. Since our purpose is in God, that's the natural place to find growth, is by being in the image of Him, by glorifying Him. But see, there was another defect in the clay I mentioned. Maybe the mar, the spoiled clay, is because of a small pebble or rock hidden in the clay. In other words, a hidden sin in our life. Maybe it's stealing time from your employer. Maybe it's doing the lie cover-up. You know, you told one lie, and then you have to cover with another lie and cover with another lie, and it just keeps going on and on and on. Oh, maybe it's something like pornography. You realize the latest statistics say that 70% of Christian men, 70% of Christian men regularly view porn. 70%. And I'm not going to let the women out of this either, even though the number is much lower for women, their number keeps increasing. It's now for women 10% of Christian women who view porn regularly. What a destruction it does to our lives. It itself is an addiction, but maybe it's not that addiction. Maybe it's addiction of drugs or alcohol or something like that. Or maybe it's an addiction that I call the silent killer of the church. Gossip. Maybe it's an addiction to gossip. See, as long as we hide this pebble in our lives, we're not going to grow into the image of Jesus Christ that we should. And it means that you'll never find your true purpose that God has intended for your life. And you might be thinking about that sin. You might say, well, that's not that big of a deal, God. Or maybe you say, I can stop this at any time. Right. Really, the answer is wrong. Stop trying to be the potter. You're trying to be the potter by saying that. And you need to let the potter deal with the sin issue in your life. Because whenever there's hidden sin in our lives, we are held back from the potter and what He wants to do from us in our lives. God can't mold us and make us into what He wants us to be. But there's good news. If we come with a true repentant heart, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not it might happen. It's if we confess, it will happen. If we truly come with a repentant heart, He will forgive and start us anew. Well, we got to face it. We're all marred. We all have mistakes. We all have sins. We all have regrets. But see, it doesn't stop the plan of God if we come to Him with a repentant heart. Our scripture says, because the pot was marred, the potter formed it into another pot. The pot was messed up. But the potter said, "That's okay. I can take this mess and I can turn it into a miracle. God can take your mess and he can turn it into the message so you can be the message of Jesus Christ, because he's the God of second chances." God says, "I'm not going to throw you out. I'm going to take you and I'm going to remold you. I'm going to remake you, because I'm the great remaker. I'm the great rebuilder. I'm the great restorer. And I'm the God of second chances for your life." And when God sees the mar in your clay, he doesn't say, "That clay is not worth anything anymore. That clay never will fulfill its purpose. I'm just going to throw it out." No, he doesn't say that at all. He says, "I'm going to reform you, reshape you, because I'm the God of that second chance. Your problems cannot derail my plan," God says. "I still have a plan, and I love you. And I'm not done with you yet. I haven't given up on you yet. I have a purpose and I still have a plan, but we have to come with a repentant heart before our Lord, because he wants to remold us. He's saying, I'm not going to throw you away, but come to me with a repentant heart." And you know, when you feel that pain of being remolded and reshaped by God, when you feel that, actually, that's a time to rejoice. That's a time to be praising God, because you know it is his loving hands who is powerfully changing you and caring for you. You're in his hands. In the middle of the mess, God gets down into our messes and turns our mess into the message, so that we can then go out and help others who are dealing with very similar situations. God never wastes a single hurt in our life. God never wastes a teardrop in our life. Jeremiah cried for 40 years. God didn't waste a single tear that Jeremiah shed. He takes our pain and he turns it into his purpose. He takes even our sins, and I don't understand completely how, but God takes our sins and turns it around to his glory. And then we can go out and help others who have gone through similar situations and help them find victory in Jesus. How do you find your purpose? How do you find your purpose in life? Well, those four things. The first discovery of the potter is that he is the potter and I'm the clay. We got to understand the authority of God, just who is in charge. The second discovery of the potter is that he makes a vessel that pleases him. He is the sovereign one. He knows what's best. The third discovery of the potter is that he desires a relationship with his creation. It's all about the relationship with him to a loving God. And then the fourth discovery of the potter is that he wants to mold us and make us more and more into his image. The Bible has a fancy word for that. It's called sanctification, and it just means making us more and more holy, coming more and more like Jesus. To be the message, you must discover your purpose in God. You're wonderfully created by a potter who loves you so very much. And you know what? It's time to fly. You're not a prairie chicken, okay? You're not, and so you need to stop living like a prairie chicken. You're God's eagle, ready to soar and to reveal to the world the very message of Jesus in you. As we come to our time of invitation, maybe there is something in your life that's keeping you from being the vessel that God has intended for your life, has purpose for your life, and it's time to get serious with him. I think it's the most startling thing that 70% of Christian men regularly view porn. And it's something, guys, we need to clean up. We need to let God clean up in our lives. Maybe it's some other hidden sin. Maybe it's gossip. And we need to get that addiction out of our lives. I don't know what it is with you, but if there's something you need to take to God today, do that. You can, where you'll be standing in a moment, take it to him. If you want to come up front and kneel and pray, or pray with Pastor Mike or I, whatever. Be open to God's call. That's what's important. Or maybe it's that you've never turned your life over to Jesus Christ and you haven't started the journey of following Jesus through that wonderful forgiveness because of his payment on the cross for you.
or whatever the prayer need you have, be open to God's call today as we come. I'll tell you, and maybe you're a little scary about baptism. We're at baptism in 2 weeks in the service that we have, and you'll get to see what that's like. But maybe you want to be baptized, and we can get you in on that schedule too. Be open to God's call. Let's go to Him now in prayer, and then we'll sing together. Father, guide and lead us in this time. Open up our hearts to what You have to say to us. Father, may You be glorified because You are Lord of all. Father, work in our hearts. May You be praised and glorified. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing.